Well, good evening and welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you once again as we continue our summer series in Proverbs chapter 2. The last couple of weeks we looked at the wicked man and the wicked woman, two figures that speak of different ways we stray off the path of wisdom. But as we come towards the end of chapter 2 tonight, we're thinking about how that wisdom can bless us. What does God intend for us? And how does it transform us? Well, obviously tonight I am coming to you from the pool. I love being in a pool on a hot summer day like this. And maybe some of you, did anyone spend some time in the pool today? If you had that opportunity, I'm sure you found it refreshing. Other days it's a little bit more questionable, isn't it? We've had some days this summer where it was hot enough you may have thought, if I had a chance, I'd like to get in a pool today. But then there was a cool breeze, or there was a threat of rain, or there was actual rain. And either you'd get in and say, ooh, that's a little cooler than I want. I'm a chicken when it comes to pool temperatures. I like the pool to be nice and warm. So there's that. Or there could be other things that could throw it off. For example, have you ever gotten into a pool and then found that there's a bunch of hungry mosquitoes that are also enjoying the poolside on a hot summer day? So you get in the pool and suddenly you're a meal and you decide, oh, I don't know if I really want to be in or not. So all kinds of things that can cause us to jump out of what looks initially like refreshment. And we can run into that trouble with wisdom as well, where it sounds refreshing, right? God says it's going to bless us. It's going to draw us closer to him. We say, I want God's wisdom. But the question is, are we going to get into the pool and stay in the pool? Well, on those cooler days, I found that one thing I need to do is actually convince myself to try it for a while, because there are plenty of times I've gotten into water over the years where I get in and at first I really don't want to stay in. And sometimes the bugs are worse because I'm warmer still, I haven't cooled off. There's all kinds of reasons I might want to jump out, and I shouldn't. So too with God's wisdom. There are going to be times that maybe we try it out for the first time, or we try to apply God's wisdom to an area of our lives where we haven't really yet allowed his word to transform us, and we dip our toes in and say, wow, that's cold. I don't know if I want to do that. Well, tonight God's going to challenge us to think more about how do we actually stay in the pool of his wisdom. Let's pray that he would help us to do just that. Will you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this evening. We thank you that we can come together live every week and study your word together, discuss it in the chat. I love how that works, Lord, that around the world we can be together learning more about you. Would you help us to do that tonight? And as we do, would you help us to be challenged, each and every one of us? All of us have those places where we've been dipping our toes in the pool of your wisdom, but we're not sure. We wonder if there are going to be some bugs that bite. We wonder if it's going to be too cool. We wonder if the rain's going to start. We say, well, maybe I'll wait and try that later because it does look like a storm is coming. Lord, would you help us to be those who instead jump into that pool and stay in that pool? We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at the first part of verse 20 of chapter 2. Here's what we read if we turn there. It says, so you will walk in the way of the good. You will walk in the way of the good. Here's the thing that this chapter wants us to understand. That when we enter into God's wisdom, it's going to have an effect. Wisdom isn't just something that we think about, isn't something that we just store up. Remember last night, if you were with us, we were talking about we can't do an IQ test or find a certain number of certifications and know someone has achieved God's wisdom. It's a living thing. And the impact of that is that when we come to God's wisdom and we live it, what do we know? It's actually going to make a difference. Our lives will look different. And so the proverb here doesn't say, if we have God's wisdom, if we're living according to God's wisdom, we will walk on that good path, maybe, or perhaps. It just says we will. We'll stop. Doesn't mean everything's going to be easy, right? If you get into a pool and it's a little cooler, you know, it might be not easy at first. We might find ourselves cold at first. But what does God promise? As we come to his wisdom and we live in his wisdom, we will find ourselves on the good path, the path of those who are good. And so that's really what we find ourselves here. Just listen to this again. Listen to the certainty of this. So you will walk in the way of the good. Not just a way that could be good, but the way of those who are good. And depending on your translation, it may translate it different ways, but that's the part we really want to take away from it. This is the path of those who are good. Not the path that always seems good, but the path of those who are good. That's really important. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be walking on that? Well, it means that we're going to be on it, and we're going to be on it consistently. We're not going to be those who sometimes are on the good path. No, we're going to be those who are on it. It's transforming our everyday lives. It's not something we do for special occasions. We don't dress up on Sundays and walk on the path of the good. We don't do it on just Mondays. We do it every day. That's the calling. And so if you think about it, if wisdom is actually an action, if wisdom is something that we're doing and living, well, doesn't it make sense? It wouldn't be very wise to say, well, I want to be wise part of the time. I'll be foolish the rest of the time. But God calls us to be wise all the time. And so we will walk on the path of the good. We will walk with the good ones. A while back, a famous pastor died, and he served for decades in ministry. Lots of people admired him and bought his books. I could be talking of any number of pastors. I don't want to give too much specificity to it, because it's not my point to try to speak ill of someone in particular, because this could be true of, well, it could be true of all of us. But in this case, it's been something that over the years, and especially towards the later years of his life, there were a lot of things that came out that suggested that, yes, he spoke a lot of wisdom, and it was genuine wisdom, at least part of the time. I don't agree with everything he said, but he spoke a lot of wisdom. But there was also a lot that wasn't wise in how he led his church, and how he led the other ministries that he was involved in. Ways that those ministries did not treat people well, maybe even treated people outright sinfully. Some of it was examples where he was directly involved, and there were plenty of other cases where he surely knew of it but chose not to do anything. And some people have gotten really upset to say, well, this was a man who wasn't actually acting wisely as a pastor, because he taught so much and he meant so much to so many people. He must have been a wise pastor. But here's the thing that we need to understand about God's wisdom. God's wisdom is more than saying wise things. It's a question of, am I living in a wise way? Am I doing what is wise and good? Am I walking the path of those who are good? And so if someone outputs a lot of what sounds like wisdom, but overlooks all kinds of bad things being done to the people in his flock, excuses the bad being done to his flock, and encourages others to do the same, then we're challenged to say that isn't really what the Bible's talking about wisdom. Now, to be fair, we all do that to a degree, and I don't want to be hypocritical in that. We're all going to have our blind spots. We're all going to have those places where we don't walk in wisdom. But the question is, one, am I willing to be transformed? Am I looking for God to be moving me closer to wisdom? And two, am I willing to hear critique when I'm not? This particular individual generally did not seem to be willing. And so all the wisdom that was output still puts a question mark on, was he living a wise life? Now, I'm not questioning his salvation, because our salvation isn't based on, are we wise enough? Are we faithful enough? It's on what Jesus does. But it does raise the question as far as, should we say that what he was doing was wise? Because wisdom is not just having a lot of head knowledge, and not even saying a lot of great things, but living those things and helping others to. And people watch our example. So if we say wise things but act in a foolish way, you know what? People are going to look at our not wise ways of living and associate those with the wise things we say. So it's not really wisdom. Do we want to be? Do we take the things that we learn, the paths that we read about even in Proverbs, and say, this is what I want my life to be exemplified by? I want my theology to be practical, so to speak. Now, if you've ever looked at theological books, you may know there's a distinction. There's systematic theology, biblical theology, and a department in schools, for example, known as practical theology. I don't like making that division. I think it's a very unhelpful division. Because here's the thing that we should also understand. All theology that's actually wise is practical. If there's theology that's wonderfully abstract and plays all kinds of mind games but doesn't actually change our lives, it's not really wise. And if there's theology that purports to be practical but doesn't pay attention to the values that God cares about, doesn't actually look out for the downtrodden, doesn't actually protect the innocent, doesn't do those sorts of things, it's not practical, even if it seems like it, even if it can output a result. So if we're looking for wisdom and we say what good theology is wise theology, well, whether it falls into one category or another of the different classifications of theology, all theology that's actually wise will be practical in the real sense, in the meaningful sense, in the biblical sense. So our challenge, if we're going to actually pursue wisdom and we're thinking about what's been in this chapter of Proverbs, is, am I actually diving into wisdom that transforms? We can read a chapter like we've been doing this summer and say, well, I'll dip my toes into this bit of wisdom and that bit of wisdom. But what God's saying is, I want you all the way in. I want you to jump in the pool. And so all of you is going to get soaked by wisdom. And all of us say, well, God, I want some of me soaked, but other parts of me I'll hold up. Like, I don't want to get this piece of paper wet that has our passage on it for tonight. I'm holding this up. Now, notably, I'm a klutz, so I didn't bring my Bible into the pool with me, because if I did, I'd probably end up dropping it. And what we say in our lives, we have our papers, we have our parts of our lives that we say, well, I kind of want to keep this not in the pool of God's wisdom. I might even drop it, so maybe I'll keep a little bit more of me out so I don't accidentally drop it. And God says, no, I want you in the pool. Now, when we're in a physical pool, I can actually be holding something about God's wisdom and not want it to get soaked. But in our lives, there's no such thing. God wants in every part of our lives. And those parts where we say, but I'm going to be practical, I'm not going to apply this. I'm going to encourage people to follow someone who is so practical that, yeah, there's some places where God's wisdom doesn't seem to be soaking in, and that's okay. That isn't really what's in view here. Now, again, none of us do it perfectly. So if we say, well, someone doesn't have it all right, well, that's all right, because none of us do. And the only people that seem to are those who hide it better. But again, those two questions. Am I willing to be transformed by God's wisdom? Am I saying, God, soak me in those places where I don't realize I'm holding my arm out? Go ahead and pull me in. And am I also willing to listen when others point out that I haven't? That's the real challenge we have here. That is what wisdom wants for us. That's what we see in this chapter. I think sometimes we think that well, if we follow God's wisdom, there's always going to be those places that don't really feel like we're doing it. And maybe we actually even actively don't do what God has said because it's necessary. It's a necessary evil. A few months ago when we had our Take Two Tablets series talking about God's wisdom in the Ten Commandments, we laughed together several times about how long the side effects on the average pill you can take are. And we all know this. We've heard the commercials. It goes on and on and on. And the one that always strikes me the most is, it seems like it's inevitable that you hear about this pill and it's going to help with this or that disease or this or that problem that we encounter. And there's a side effect that seems to actually reverse the very thing that it's supposed to do. Have trouble breathing, but consult your doctor if after taking pill XYZ, you have a harder time breathing. Well, that isn't how God's wisdom works. There's no contradiction there. We're not going to pick up his wisdom and find some other problem. The pump on this pool just kicked on, and so it's a little noisier out here now, but it's also cleaning the water, right? And if you've heard a pump filter, it'd be nice if they didn't have to exist, but it's necessary to clean the pool. Sometimes that's how we think about God's wisdom, that, okay, there's this downside to it. It's not going to be so good in this area, but it's going to be great in that area. And we might have the right intuition as much as sometimes following God's wisdom is going to make it harder to live in the world. It's going to make what sounds like noise. But here's the thing we need to know. When it actually comes to living a wise life, showing love to others, loving our God, growing in wisdom, following God's wisdom is never going to contradict those things. And so if we see a way that we feel like we're being pulled to do just that, or we see others saying, I'm following God's wisdom, that's why I'm going to be angry and mean to this person, I'm going to overlook this injustice because I need to do God's wisdom in another area, that's a sign of someone holding their arm out with that area they don't want completely soaked. And if it's us doing that. And in any case, it's a sign that it's time to go ahead and pull that arm into the pool and get more of God's wisdom. Let's turn to verse 20, second half. As we continue along, we see that not only will you walk in the way of the good, but, it goes on, and keep to the paths of the righteous. Keep to them. And I think that's an interesting part when we think about this whole body immersion in God's wisdom. You see, God doesn't want to just filter away the dirt and impurities in part of our lives. He wants to bring us closer to himself in all of our lives and on a continuing basis. I don't look at pool water and say, you know, it'd be great if we dumped some sewage in here. It'd be great if we dumped some toxic chemicals in here. We can always turn the pool filter on and clean it up later. We know that we'd like to just keep cleaning and cleaning and cleaning, right? If it's something that we're going to go swimming in, we want it to be clean, and we don't want to actively encourage it to be otherwise. And so it should be with our lives. You see, the call to wisdom is a call to lifelong integrity, not only to walk in integrity, but to be, so to speak, stuck in integrity. This goes hand in hand with keeping one area of life out where we're trying to keep it dry. Another challenge we can face is that we stay in the pool for a while and then the bugs come out, right? The different challenges from life, places where people don't agree with God's wisdom and it becomes uncomfortable to stay in God's wisdom. Or there's some rain circumstances of life and we say, I'm going to get out of the pool of God's wisdom for a time. God says, I want this to be a one-way street for you. Come into my wisdom and stay in my wisdom. Now, that doesn't mean we always will, because we are sinful, and sometimes there's diversions that happen. But the question is, am I going to say to God, please help me to stay on your path, because what do I see? Let's just look at that verse once again here. And keep to the paths of the righteous. Let's look at the whole thing together. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. When we think of that, what God is calling us to do, what he's saying is, don't look at this as a thing to do part of the time, a part-time job. You float by every once in a while and just sort of bring a smile to people's faces. Look at this as a lifelong commitment. I want you to be completely soaked in my wisdom constantly. Pools have kind of a luxury to them when you think about it. You go to the pool and you can get in, you can get out, get a little cold, go out, stand in the sun for a moment, warm up, get back in, et cetera, right? Other water rides don't necessarily have that. For example, if you go to the theme park and you get on the log flume, what happens with that? Well, you stand in line, and once you get partway in the line, it's pretty hard and awkward to get out of it, so you kind of feel like you're already committed. But once you get onto that log, you know that you're committed to it. And it doesn't matter if suddenly you start to feel some butterflies about the fact that you're going to get up to this top of this thing, it's going to throw you over the top and you're going to go splashing down. You're committed to it at that point. And without causing a massive scene, at least, You're not getting out. It doesn't matter if you think, oh, you know, it's kind of cold. I'm going to be really cold once I'm sober. It doesn't matter if you think, I'm scared of heights. What in the world was I thinking getting on this? No, you're pretty well committed to it. Proverbs is challenging us to see wisdom and our choice to either follow it or not in that way. We don't see it as something we turn on and off. Turn it on when it's convenient, turn it off when it's not. But rather, we're coming to a two-way log flume, and we have a choice which way we want to go. Do we want to walk in the way of the righteous? Do we want to follow God's wisdom? And sometimes it's going to be scary, and sometimes we're going to want off and say, I don't know if I want to go over this hill, God. But God says, safe, I'm with you. Sometimes we get tempted and say, it looks safer if I take the other route. But that too, what Proverbs is saying, either way, we're committing to a journey. And if we commit to the journey of God's wisdom, it's a virtuous cycle. It's going to keep building up and up and up. And there's going to be some places where we're going over those hills and saying, I don't know if I want to do it. But what do we find? As we circle around and around, finally draw closer to God. Next week, as we wrap up the series, we're going to look further at what happens when we choose not to follow God's wisdom. But God says, you don't even need to think about that. Just choose to follow my wisdom now. How do we do that practically? We all know that we should do that, right, to an extent. I should follow God's wisdom. I should, of course, walk on the paths of the righteous. I should, of course, walk with the good ones. But what happens when we're not quite sure and there's all kinds of things floating by us and we don't know whether we should follow this thing or that? How do we do it? Well, I think the challenge, whether you're just starting the Christian life or you're a lifelong Christian, the challenge all of us have is, what am I going to feed into my heart and my mind? Am I feeding in things that are going to help me to soak further into His Word? Or am I feeding into things that are telling me, let's see if I can stop the log flume and get off, go a different way? Because there's all kinds of things that we find in our society that are pulling us to, pulling us fro, that are saying, get off the right. What are we putting into our hearts? We certainly live in an information age, as I mentioned last night, and there's a great deal of information, some of it quite wise, some of it quite good. But I think all of us know we also put in things that aren't actually drawing us further into the pool. What's God saying to us? Now's the time to say, let's go all the way in. Let's go all the way in. Let's be completely immersed in the wisdom that gives life. And my prayer for us tonight, that each of us would say, God, help me to understand those places I haven't done that. To understand those places I'm still being pulled to and fro. Help me instead to be fixed in the wonderful, drenching wisdom that you give. Are we ready to do that? Because God's true way, and the true way of wisdom, isn't a path for a little while. It isn't a path that keeps us half dry. It's a path that lasts. And its path ultimately is good. Because those good ones, those righteous ones on that path, they're going to experience problems. We're going to experience problems if we follow. But we're going into the eternal refreshment, life-giving eternal waters that can only be offered by our God. Let's pray that you'd help us to experience those tonight. Would you pray with me, please? Father, would you help us to understand that we can dive into that pool of water because of our Savior. That for one, even when we feel like the noises of life are drowning us out, when we feel like the currents are pulling us in different directions and we think, I want out, when the bugs of life come, when the rains come, we want out. That you are the one who protects us and guides us, that though the challenges may come, that as we seek you, as we live in you, that you are the one who renews us and will ultimately keep us safe. Because we know that, we can face all those other things. Because they won't derail the ride. They won't lead us to to a wicked place because they can't take us away from you. Help us to be those drenched by your wisdom, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you found that all the different things floating by you have confused you and you don't know where you're really going, maybe you feel like you're surrounded by people who are angry, people who are, well, maybe a little crabby. Well, maybe those are even Christians. And you think, well, I don't know if I want to know Jesus. Here's the thing to know. We might not all be the sorts of crabby ones who actually smile. And we all have our pinchers. But God doesn't. God is there for you to rescue you. And just like my crab friend here, he could keep you afloat if you were struggling to swim in the pool. Well, so too, our God will keep us afloat. And sometimes it feels like maybe he's the one with the pinchers, right? He's saying, you need to do this. You need to actually follow my path. But what we need to understand is he's a life-saving device. He is the only one who truly can save us. Great night to choose to follow him. For those of us who are already believers, maybe we feel like we're kind of managing to do the swimming we need to do a little bit through God's wisdom. We still encounter what appear to be the sharks of life, and we think, I don't know. I don't know what to do in this situation. It feels confusing. But besides the fact that this is a very smiling, happy shark here, one thing that strikes me about this shark is he's actually a chlorinator. So not only is he smiling, he's not getting ready to eat me, thankfully. He's actually helping clean the pool. We're going to encounter a lot of confusing opportunities, confusing circumstances where wisdom actually feels like it might be putting us in danger. What we need to understand is as long as we're seeking after God's wisdom, it's going to be purifying. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know in our lives. So if there's any way I can be praying for you tonight, any questions you have, any place that you're struggling to figure out how to apply God's wisdom, whether you're trying to decide if you need that life preserver float to begin with, or you just need a little more clarifying, a little more cleansing from the chlorinator, God's there for each and every one of us, and we can help pray for each other. You can use the chat below or the address, the texting line on screen, and we can pray for each other. We can help each other in all those places of life whenever we're in a pinch, because God is there to help us. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed week. See you again soon. Don't forget to give us a like or a share so more people can hear about the news. Thank you.